This ain't like when you're at a game and sign up for a credit card just to get the prize and then you immediately cancel the credit card. Because there's no prize when you sign up for our radio shows at iTunes or with your favorite podcatcher. Sportsnet 590 The Fan on demand. Everything Blue Jays, everything baseball. Baseball Central on the Sportsnet Radio Network.
All right, in 2005, Toronto Blue Jays general manager J.P. Ricciardi had a chance to take Troy Tulowitzki with the sixth pick in the draft. Justin Upton, Alex Gordon, Jeff Clement, Ryan Zimmerman, and Ryan Brown went right in front of the Jays pick, which was sixth overall. Troy Tulowitzki was sitting there.
Mm-hmm.
The Toronto Blue Jays drafted Ricky Romero. Troy Tulowitzki went with the next pick to the Colorado Rockies. 10 years later, Troy Tulowitzki is with the Toronto Blue Jays. Welcome to Baseball Central. Jeff Blair and Kevin Barker for your listening and viewing pleasure. Alex Anthopoulos pulling another one out of his hat.
Bleep.
A trade completed late last night, early this morning, announced by the Blue Jays, and we will have Alex Anthopoulos' news conference at 1 o'clock today on Sportsnet 590 The Fan. And Sportsnet, Troy Tulowitzki, LaTroy Hawkins coming to the Toronto Blue Jays. Jose Reyes and prospects Jeff Hoffman, Jesus Tinoco, and Miguel Castro going to the Colorado Rockies. Troy Tulowitzki, no introduction needed for any baseball fan. He's a cornerstone player, a franchise player with the Colorado Rockies. He's a shortstop, a couple of years younger than Jose Reyes. Defensively considered to be an upgrade over Jose Reyes. But Kevin, all that aside, we'll get into the nuts and bolts of the deal.
Mm-hmm.
I just want your initial reaction to one thing, and it's the same question everybody has on Twitter. It's the same question I had when this deal was announced.
Mm-hmm.
That's great. Where's the pitching?
I was, after we had our dinner last night, I came home and I was sitting, I was laying in
Let's
my bed.
Let's not talk about
we didn't.
Some of us were out.
All right, perfect. Okay. I about 1:15, I flicked the TV on and I looked in the right-hand corner and it said Tulo to the Blue Jays. And I thought I was seeing things. I flipped channels. I came back, same thing in the right-hand corner. I was very shocked. It's one of those things where you are top five in everything in baseball on the offensive side of the ball, and you're 23rd in pitching.
Mm-hmm.
I was a little confused. You look at their lineup, all of a sudden now, without Reyes in there, they're predominantly right-handed. They on occasion may have Ryan Goins, Smoke. Carrera, but that's what, twice a week maybe?
They're right-hand heavy.
They're really right-handed heavy, and you're facing guys like Cueto coming up here that feast on right-handed hit. Now, I'm not saying 1 through 6 in this lineup's not off the charts, and you most teams would love to run out that 1 through 6, but the first question I had was why. That's I think a lot of people would say, why are you doing that? Why would you go out and get a shortstop when offense is not your issue? And it tells me a couple of things. It says, first thing it says to me, it's going to be, if you look at your pitching staff and you got R.A. Dickey, you've said this many times, you got R.A. Dickey, Mark Burley, which is doing well, Drew Hutchison can't pitch on the road, Estrada, he's on occasion very good, and Felix DeBrandt. Well, those are a lot of ifs besides Burley.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, if you're Alex Anthopoulos, how are you going to go out and get enough for 62 games to fix the five? You know, you're going to get one or two of those maybe hot, but who's going to pitch the other 3 days? So to me, the thinking is here, well, let me go with my strength. My strength is to try to outscore people. I'm just going to go every day and try to beat people 11-8, 11-7, just put up enough runs to win games more times than not. And I'm not sure this is you're able to do this, but you know, it's going to be very hard, I think, to balance the two out. You know, it's the old saying is that good pitching beats good hitting. Well, the Blue Jays don't have a lot of good pitching.
Right. See, I looked at this deal originally as this deal's as much about in fact, it may be more about the future than it is about the present. Are the Jays a better team today? If you look at WAR, yeah, they're a better team today than they were before this deal. I, though, look at Troy Tulowitzki in the same way I look at Josh Donaldson. Troy Tulowitzki's under control. He's a guy that in the past, unlike Jose Reyes, has been open to suggestions that he may at some point towards the end of his contract have to shift positions. And we're not talking about that now, but this is a much easier player for the Blue Jays to deal with on a long-term contract than Jose Reyes, who doesn't want to hear about shifting positions, who doesn't want to, you know, take any time out of the lineup, who doesn't want a DH. And I'm not slagging Jose Reyes. There will be plenty of people in this city who will start dumping in Jose Reyes in about another 4 hours. It always happens that way in Toronto. I'm not dumping on him, but I'm just saying that Troy Tulowitzki probably presents fewer long-term issues for the Blue Jays. He's also, as I said, two years younger. The question now, I guess in the minds of most people, is those of us around who follow the organization, who've covered the organization, who purport to know more than the average person, we were all led to believe that the only way Alex Anthopoulos would consider moving a guy like Jeff Hoffman, and let's be clear, Jeff Hoffman moved ahead of Daniel Norris on the Blue Jays prospect depth chart this year. And frankly, that's probably reflected in this trade because my guess is the Rockies would rather have Jeff Hoffman than Daniel Norris. But most of us were under the assumption that if Jeff Hoffman were traded, it would be in a package that would include a pitcher who might be a little more advanced, Jeff Hoffman. In other words, a pitcher who with maybe a year major league experience. I still think Alex is looking. Well, I know Alex is still looking for pitching help. I don't think this is the end by any stretch of the imagination. I really think we need to, before we evaluate this deal, I think it's really, really important that we see what else Alex does by Friday's non-waiver trade deadline. Everything we're led to believe is that the Jays are in a couple of pitchers. Not going to be a David Price situation or a James Shields situation. But it is... Well, I shouldn't. I mean, who knows? It's not going to be James Shields. Who knows what Alex is playing?
Yeah.
You know, the names we're hearing are names like Ian Kennedy. Guys who will give the Jays something they don't have right now, a little more certainty. A little more certainty in the rotation. So that's where this is going. I don't think you can sit here necessarily analyze this trade until we see what team the Blue Jays have on Friday. But this gets back to something, Kevin, we talked about when the Josh Donaldson deal happened.
Yep.
The other thing Alex has done is he has covered himself for the eventual loss of Edwin Encarnacion and Jose Bautista. They're both under contract for next year, or the Jays have options on it for next year, at a disgustingly friendly team rate.
It's crazy.
I mean, Jose Bautista's is 13 next year.
Yeah.
$13 million for Jose Bautista. So that's not to say that there's any hurry to trade Jose Bautista, but the fact of the matter is the Jays aren't going to re-sign both of them. They may not to a long-term contract. They may not even get one of them signed to a long-term contract. They, in fact, may end up moving one of them this year. So this gives Alex Anthopoulos kind of a ready-made replacement for the middle of the order.
Well, the only thing that worries me about this trade is Troy, 47 games in 2012, 2013, 126 games, 2014, 91 games, this year, 87 games. The DH is going to help a lot. Ryan Goins being on this team is going to help tremendous. It's going to give Troy a lot of time off. John Gibbons is really good at giving veteran guys days off on occasion. You see it a lot with Russell Martin.
You know, and glad you mentioned that. Let's throw this out there. I mean, Troy Tulowitzki comes with a lot of health concerns.
100%.
Bad hip. He had surgery on it. But, I mean, this is a guy who, there's a lot of miles in this body.
Mm-hmm.
And he's a 6'5 shortstop. And, yeah, he's still a good defender. But keep that in mind, because already the narrative is, well, Jose Reyes was always getting hurt. Troy Tulowitzki's been hurt in the past, too. So, I All I'm saying is I think the Jays are a better team right now. I don't know if they're better enough to catch the Yankees and go to the postseason. I still need to see more pitching. But I'm not gonna judge this because I need to see what's coming after this. And if Alex Anthopoulos hits the trade deadline and he's got Troy Tulowitzki and he's added another starting pitcher, then I think maybe we can look at it and go, okay, this team is better. But it the biggest thing that I see out of this is Alex Anthopoulos has acquired the premier position player in the trade market, but in most people's minds.
By far, me.
In most people's minds. Yeah. The premier position player in the trade market. So the best player out there, the best player that has been rumored, and just go online and look at some of the names that have been linked with Troy Tulowitzki. The best player out there, Alex Anthopoulos acquired. Probably not ever a really bad thing.
It's not, but yeah, how many teams you ever see that outscore people to make the playoffs and not outpitch people? That's still the issue. They're going to have to figure out ways to balance the two. Hawkins may help that in the middle of the, like, say, the sixth or seventh
Hawkins,
inning.
Hawkins is Darren Oliver. He's Darren Oliver.
Oh, 100%, but he's that Oliver. Veteran guy that can flip it, take a little speed off. He knows how to get people out. That's going to help a little. But what do you do in all the other places? This team all of a sudden is a remote stopper. Now you're flipping the channels and all you want to do is watch the Blue Jays play because they're going to score 30 runs a game, but they might give up 31.
Alex Anthopoulos, by the way, will hold his news conference at 1:00 to formally announce the trade. We will carry that news conference live. Jeff Francis, like the honorary co-host of Baseball Central. Jeff Francis will join us later on in the hour. He pitched in Colorado well. Troy Tulowitzki was there. Safe to say that there's probably nobody in the Blue Jays organization that knows Troy Tulowitzki better than Jeff Francis. He'll join us. Woody Page of the Denver Post is also going to join us. And we'll talk about Troy Tulowitzki. Before we talk about Tulowitzki, though, let's talk about the players the Jays gave up. We saw Miguel Castro. In spring training, we saw him at the start of the year as a closer. Good arm, very raw. Jeff Hoffman, we've already talked about. I will admit, I don't know a great deal about Jesus Tinoco.
Mm-hmm.
I do know that just from reading some of the hard fan graphs and some of the other reports, he is a hard thrower,
right.
And scouts are going to like that. But what do you think Jose Reyes's time in Toronto is going to be remembered for?
I think it's a little bit like a roller coaster. One day, the things he does on a baseball field is like no other. He is electric on the offensive side of the ball. He makes some great plays at times. And then on other days, he catches balls flat-footed. He's not obviously very good with his feet on the defensive side of the ball, but again, that gets back to you get a little bit older, things just don't work like they used to, and you know, I had no problems with Jose Reyes. I think every great team needs a leadoff hitter and a really good one. Jose Reyes is it. He brought everything you needed to bring besides the occasional error in a big spot. He brought everything you need to bring to an offense like this. He set the tone. He would make, I'll say this, Josh Donaldson hitting behind him it was very beneficial for him when Reyes was on base, paying a lot more attention to Reyes than he would even Batista, the opposing pitcher, would pay to guys get better pitches to hit. That's going to be an interesting thing to watch, too, on if I'm assuming Devin Travis is going to lead off. Is that going to be the same thing? Devin Travis is not a stolen base guy. Is that going to impact anything down the lineup? Mm-hmm. Understanding these guys are off the charts good. Josh Donaldson, MVP candidate. Jose Bautista speaks for himself. Tulowitzki all of a sudden is the best shortstop in baseball. I'm guessing he's going to hit cleanup. What's that going to do not having your leadoff hitter? I think Reyes did what we expected him to do.
Mm-hmm. My takeaway from Jose Reyes is that injury he suffered in Kansas City his first year with the team, and that was kind of that just took the air out of the balloon, the air that had been put in the balloon by the trade with the Miami Marlins.
Right.
That was one of those, every now and then you see an organization you see an injury and you go, there's, whether it's bad karma, whatever, there's some foreshadowing going on. That injury on the part of Jose Reyes sliding into second base was, that to me just said, okay, this is, you know, right. there's some bad karma. There's some bad something at work here. But again, the Blue Jays at 1 o'clock today will announce they've acquired Troy Tulowitzki and LaTroy Hopkins from the Colorado Rockies for Jeff Hoffman, Miguel Castro, Jesus Tinoco, and Jose Reyes. I got to tell you a funny story about LaTroy Hopkins, and I'm sure you will understand this. LaTroy Hopkins is with the Minnesota Twins. He was their player rep. And for those of you who don't know him, LaTroy Hopkins is a 42-year-old guy. He's announced he's retiring.
Mm-hmm.
He's, you know, I mean, he's a good clubhouse guy. He's one of those guys, right? You don't spend as much time as he did in baseball moving from team to team. That means one of two things. It means you're a bad person or it means people like you. Well, in this case, people like him.
Mm-hmm.
He was a Minnesota Twins player rep. And I was in, they were in Detroit. Play the Tigers, and I was in there doing, probably doing a story in Justin Morneau, and they had a clubhouse meeting after a game that they won. You know, this struck us as being kind of odd, clubhouse meeting after
very
a
odd
game they won. We go in and nothing, you know, nothing appears out of place. It doesn't appear as if there was an incident. LaTroy Hopkins was so upset at the fact that the Detroit Tigers visiting clubhouse guys were feeding the Minnesota Twins fried food, like really, I mean, you know what the Major League clubhouse is, the food's pretty good, but you also know what happens. Teams that have guys who make a lot of money, sometimes they get better food than teams full of guys that don't make a lot of money. Why? Because the guys with a lot of money tip. And a lot of people don't know that. There's this kind of pecking order. Yeah. He called the meeting because he was pissed off that the Minnesota Twins had gotten the food from the visiting clubhouse. And he told, and I'll never forget this, he told all the writers, eventually everybody figured out what the hell was going on. And he said, I went into the visiting clubhouse manager's office and I said, do you feed the New York Yankees the same bleep that you feed us?
Yeah.
And, you know, you need guys like that on your team in baseball. You need guys who can take care. That's, you know, the rest of us, we're going, come on. You're complaining about free food. But you know what? For guys who play the game and play 162 games, stuff like that, I mean, that's part of the daily thing, right? And you need guys who will step up and take care of stuff like that in the clubhouse. And that was LaTroy Hopkins.
That's awesome. Well, I know clubhouse dues are pretty hefty in the big leagues. I don't know what they are now. Whenever I played, they were in the 40s range.
Yeah. Per day?
Per day. That's a lot. So you go on basically 162 games, you're paying that.
Yeah.
And it's, you know, I'm sure it's a lot more for guys.
Yeah.
Like a Hawkins that's been around forever than, you know, is established on the paycheck kind of thing. But for a guy like me, it's like you said, I was paying, if it was $35, I'd pay $35.
It's just kind of, I mean, you see things like this and you kind of get a little insight in the guy. So LaTroy Hopkins is not the focal point of the deal. Don't get me wrong. But I've always, every now and then you run into something, an incident that just kind of sticks in your head. And that's the kind of reputation LaTroy Hopkins has.
I wonder what this is going to do to Troy Tulowitzki. Is it going to make him a better player because he's surrounded by so many great hitters? Is that something you think?
Coors Field is a pretty hitter's friendly park.
It is, but you're not. He's never been surrounded by a 50 home run guy, a MVP candidate most years in Donaldson, a Edwin Encarnacion that hits 30 plus most years. That's Russell Martin. That's going to put balls in play more times than not. That's a pretty good lineup to be stuck in the middle of, and sort of forgotten about. Can he be forgotten about? Maybe.
I don't know. We'll see. We really need to hear at some point from Troy Tulowitzki. And, I mean, the initial reaction. Now, I was reading the coverage in the Denver Post today, and Troy Tulowitzki and Denver's manager, they had a long meeting. Tulowitzki came out in the eighth inning last night, I think, of their game. They had a long meeting, and of course Tulowitzki comes out, and you know, people were, the word was out that he'd been traded. But I don't know if there was a sense that he was unhappy with it. I really don't know. We know that Troy Tulowitzki has on several occasions suggested to people that he wants to go to New York.
Mm-hmm.
He's a Yankees fan. Derek Jeter is his role model. There was kind of a cute little scene during the postseason when the Colorado Rockies went to the World Series that year, and Tulowitzki got to spend some time around Derek Jeter, and somebody, one of his teammates, put an entire collection of Derek Jeter cologne, you know, the Derek Jeter stuff,
sure,
in his locker, because he was a big fan of Derek Jeter. He's right. Kind of wanted to play in New York. That the word has been out there. Yankees or Mets, a team that have always kind of had an interest in Troy Tulowitzki. Under his contract, apparently, and I'm sure Alex will be asked about this, under the terms of his contract, apparently when he's traded and no trade clause kicks in, he's the type of guy that's probably not going to present that much of an issue. 3 or 4 years down the road, you want to move off the contract, you'll be able to get it done with him. But I got to tell you, my initial reaction, Kevin, and I know the initial reaction of a lot of people on Twitter, was I thought Alex had made this deal in order to flip Tulowitzki.
Me too.
Because when you look at the pitchers that have been connected with him, we're talking about Jacob DeGrom. We're talking about some big-name young pitchers that have been connected with Troy Tulowitzki. That was my first instinct.
Me too.
People, or things we're being led to believe right now, is that the Jays aren't planning on flipping him. Which,
I still say that tells me that Alex doesn't think he can go get enough on that pitching side, because it's going to take more than one piece. I think one piece
makes them better. I don't know if one piece gets them prime.
Exactly right. So what's the better? The next option is to try to go out and outscore people. We'll see if that works.
I think the other option is you try to make your team better. And I think Alex thinks that he has made this team better. Jeff Francis of the Buffalo Bisons, the Toronto Blue Jays AAA affiliate, he played with Troy Tulowitzki, gosh, for most of Tulowitzki's time with the Colorado Rockies. I dare say there are a few people in the Blue Jays organization who know as much about Troy Tulowitzki as Jeff Francis does. And Jeff Francis will join us when Baseball Central continues on Sportsnet 590 The Fan and Sportsnet 360.
Subscribe to our radio shows at iTunes or with your favorite podcatcher. No medical exam or health questions will be asked. Sportsnet 590 The Fan on demand. Now, back to more Baseball Central on Sportsnet 590 The Fan.
All right, welcome back to Baseball Central, the Troy Tulowitzki edition.
Yes.
With Baseball Central, Alex Anthopoulos will hold a news conference at 1 o'clock. We will carry it live. Mr. Barker is going to hang around with Greg Brady of Brady and Walker.
You look
to
really nice today,
too. I'm going to go down and do some stuff with Jamie Campbell. We host the news conference. LaTroy Hawkins.
Sweet.
Troy Tulowitzki, the Toronto Blue Jays. Jose Reyes. Still seems odd saying Jose Reyes has been traded by the Blue Jays. Jose Reyes, Jeff Hoffman, Miguel Castro, Jesus Tinoco going to the Colorado Rockies. And no indication yet as to, for example, who will replace Jose Reyes in the leadoff spot. There's a couple of ways. Devin Travis, you mentioned. I mean, Kevin Pillar. I don't know right now if they have a leadoff guy. Maybe, I don't think you do this. I was going to say maybe you bring Dalton Pompey up.
Huh?
Yeah, you're not going to do that and have him leadoff. I'm just, pulling stuff.
I think the Devin Travis thing, because he stays up the middle the other way a lot. He puts a lot of balls in play. It's the speed thing. You don't have a real speed threat. That's my question earlier before we went to break was, is that going to be an issue with guys hitting behind the leadoff hitter? Because when Reyes got on base, we saw it. Yeah. It was hectic.
And a couple of people have pointed out, take a look at what Alex has done. He's added a right-hand hitting shortstop to a position where he had a switch hitting shortstop. And, again, we know that Jose Reyes has diminished. His defensive skills have diminished. Mm-hmm. I don't think Troy Tulowitzki is still the same guy he was 10 years ago. Hell, I'm not the same guy I was 10 hours ago after your birthday party. So, I mean, but, you know, you've got to. I don't know. This is odd. They got the better player.
Yeah.
I don't know if they're a measurably better. And I know war favors this deal. Wins above replacement favors this deal totally. I don't know if they're a better lineup. They're going to hit more home runs, but they don't have the leadoff guy. They don't have the base stealing threat. I'm not criticizing the deal. And again, this team that we're seeing right now, it's mm-hmm. not going to be the team after Friday's trade deadline. I think that's pretty clear. But I'm just kind of, you know, throwing things against the wall and looking at that lineup.
I'll throw this at you since you're a very smart guy. Ooh, Johnny Cueto's coming into town. He doesn't give up a lot of home runs, basically none. How do you manufacture runs without a leadoff hitter?
There's a couple of things.
Keeps it in the yard. You have to go the other way. Is there enough guys on this team that can do that, that can have quality at bats? Think middle the other way. At home now, obviously they score a couple more runs at home because they can go line to line. They barrel it mm-hmm. up. They got a chance of leaving the yard. But, you know, you're going to face good pitching on the road. How do you do that? How do you get guys on, cause a little havoc running around the bases? Well, they don't really have that.
We should mention, by the way, that in trading Jeff Hoffman, make no mistake about it, Jeff Hoffman is the focal point of this deal.
100%.
For the Colorado Rockies. The Jays still have Daniel Norris in AAA, a guy whose name has been out there. And I'm just saying this. If you're Alex and you think you can make another deal for that more advanced pitcher,
mm-hmm.
you know, you could still have, if you were to move Daniel Norris going into next year, you would have a rotation of Stroman, Hutch, Dickey's coming back. I don't think there's any doubt about that. Stroman, Hutch, Dickey, the pitcher you acquired. And then you've got Sanchez or Osuna, one of them, mm-hmm. going to the rotation. You've still got Estrada. You know, you could possibly, and you've got Matt Boyd down in the minors still.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there's still a chance that Alex can move Daniel Norris and not completely leave himself stripped.
I think you may see something
pitching
with Drew Hutchison too. I think that that leash is getting shorter and shorter with the you know, the splits from home to the road.
Yeah, but the problem is,
you're going to have an off season to figure it out. It may be a package deal.
That's okay.
You talked about that.
I'm saying right now, if if Alex Anthopoulos had a deal land in his lap that involved Daniel Norris, he would still have a certain amount of pitching depth in the minor league system. Not as much, but you could conceivably be looking at a rotation of Stroman, Hutchison, Dickey, and then one of Sanchez or Osuna.
Mm-hmm.
Or you know what? Maybe both Sanchez and Osuna. And somebody else closing. Anyhow, I just throwing that out there. It's Baseball Central with Jeff Blair and Kevin Barker. We are chewing over the big deal made late last night this morning. Troy Tulowitzki, who's part of the furniture in Colorado, traded to the Toronto Blue Jays. Jeff Francis is with the AAA Buffalo Bisons. He almost seems to be the co-host of this show this year. need to start paying him for this. But I do know this. He knows Troy Tulowitzki. He played with him. Some real good years with those Colorado Rockies, and Jeff Francis joins us in Baseball Central. Jeff, thank you so much for doing this mm-hmm. again. Troy Tulowitzki, tell me what we know about the guy from watching him play. We know that, but tell me something about Troy Tulowitzki we may not know.
Well, to me, he's probably the most driven athlete I've ever played with. You know, the guy. It sounds like you might say it about anybody, but the guy just wants to win. And I think with him, it's more true than anybody I've played with. And, he's a talent. There's no doubt about it. He's a pleasure to watch, you know, especially when he's at 100%. And he wants to be the best, and that's what motivates him.
What was your reaction to this deal?
I was surprised. You know, I having played a few years in Colorado, I still follow the team, you know, fairly closely, not religiously, but, you know, I read the news and everything sounded to me like Troy wasn't going to be on the move. So, you know, as a former teammate of his and, you know, as a friend of his too, I was kind of happy for him that he was going to get to stay. But, you know, it'll, you know, it could be good for him. It'll be good for the Rockies, I think, too. And I know Troy will change the scenery. It'll motivate him even more to be even better.
Jeff, Alex has done a lot to work on the clubhouse here. Is what does Troy bring with his clubhouse presence?
Just about everything you'd want, I think. You know, like I said, he's as driven as anybody I've seen, and not only does he lead by example, but he does it with his words too. And I think that's rare in an athlete mm-hmm. who really wants to be that guy. You know, and you know, not only does Troy want to do it, but he's good at it too. And there's no doubt in my mind that you know, the guys will be happy with the teammate they've got.
He was, as I said, kind of part of the furniture in Colorado. He was certainly considered to be a franchise player. How do you think he will handle, or how do you think he handled the news of the trade? You know, because I think a lot of people, Jeff, a lot of players get to a certain point in their career where they like to have some control over where they go. And he does gain a no trade clause with this deal, but he didn't have one of those ironclad no trade clauses before. Is Troy the type of guy that's going to need to think about this for a little bit before he's comfortable? Or is he the type of guy that'll just show up and, you know, whenever I'm in the lineup, I'm going to go out and do my best?
I don't really know the answer to that question. Mm-hmm. I, you know, not having been there for now for a couple of years, I don't really know, you know, what the temperature was as far as his relationship with the team. So I don't know how badly maybe he wanted to stay or wanted out. I'm not sure. So, but I do know that when he steps on the field, you're getting the best Troy that there is. And I think that's a good thing.
That 2007 season with the Rockies was remarkable, wasn't it? And just looking at his numbers, it wasn't his best career year, but, you know, 99 RBI, he had an OPS of 838, and he was just a huge part of that team going to the World Series.
He was, and as a rookie, too, he was a leader. Mm-hmm. You know, there was a lot of older guys on the team, and, you know, Troy was a guy who, he would always take responsibility for mistakes. He never palmed it off on anyone else. And I don't think that's very common in a 22 or 23 year old or whatever he was at the time. I think we could all sense right away that, you know, he was going to be a superstar in the major leagues.
The thing I remember about Troy during that World Series, covering it, is the whole, the comparisons to Derek Jeter in some ways, and his, how Derek Jeter was, you know, one of his favorite players growing up and all that. And I remember Troy saying that he took an awful lot of grief from teammates for the whole Jeter thing.
maybe, but, you know, obviously it's good grief if you're getting compared to a guy like that.
Mm-hmm. So,
you know, he wore his number. You know, you saw when he went to watch him play last summer. He's an idol of his. And, you know, what better guy to emulate probably than Derek Jeter, I guess.
Jeff, let me ask you, you've obviously played with him and know how he is. If you're John Gibbons, what would be the best way to use him? Saying, you know, his biggest problem lately has been staying on the field. Is there a certain thing that would make it easier to do that? Do you think he should DH more? Is there, you know, things he should do off the field? Do you have any suggestions on that?
Well, I'd probably put him at shortstop.
That's a good start. Yeah.
I don't know. I'm not in a good place to play manager. I don't know how much, you know, the guy needs reps. I don't know how the turf would affect. I'm not in a place to comment on any of that mm-hmm. stuff. Mm-hmm. But having played with him, I know that when he's on the field, he makes the team better, and that's a good thing.
Jeff, we're going to let you run. Appreciate you doing this as always.
Yeah, thanks, no Jeff. Problem.
It's Jeff Francis, the co-host of Baseball Central, one of them.
Yeah, might as well,
co-host.
Man.
Interesting. You know, he sounded a lot like, to me, he sounded a lot like Josh Donaldson when the description of driven.
Mm-hmm.
Like I said, you know, and I think when a guy is in one city for a long time, and hell, it's Denver. Denver's a nice city. It's not like
it is.
We've talked about this. It's not like a city where you'd want a smoke trail out of your butt getting out of there.
Yeah.
I do wonder where the guy's head is going to be at initially. I'm not saying it's going to be a bad thing. I just think human nature, if you've been in one place for a long time, and I'm sure at some point Troy Tulowitzki has thought about not being with the Rockies, but you know, there's a difference between imagining you're not going to be someplace and then having someone call you in and saying, you know what, we've traded you to Toronto. And I got to throw out, because Jeff Francis mentioned, Kevin, an interesting little story. And I don't know if this, how this played into to Troy Tulowitzki's, his relationship with the Rockies at all. But if you think back to last summer, when he did, he was hurt, he went to watch Derek Jeter play while the Rockies were playing, I believe. And, or it might have been an off day, but essentially he kind of, quote unquote, left the team as it was to go. There were people in Denver who weren't really happy with that. And I don't know if that maybe kind of exacerbated the whatever lingering tension there may have been between the organization and him, but there might have been. The other thing to keep in mind here as well is that Alex Anthopoulos, and this is from Ken Rosenthal, Fox Sports, Alex actually broached this deal with the Rockies over the winter. So it's not as if this is something that Alex just kind of, you know, decided to do in the last in the last week or so, which I also find interesting, because that would indicate to me, and maybe we at some point we can ask Alex about this, but I wonder, and I'm just supposing here, I wonder if one of the reasons Alex didn't make a trade for a significant pitcher is because he needed this deal to happen in some capacity to maybe free up a little bit of money. I know the money's a wash, but I'm wondering if maybe now that we know that Alex talked to Colorado about Tulowitzki in the winter, I wonder if maybe there was kind of a pending pitching deal that didn't happen. Again, we need to know when. When did he talk to him? Did he talk to him before Donaldson? Did he talk to him at what point? But I'm just throwing that out there, because one of the great questions this year, whatever you think of Alex Anthopoulos and his moves, and whatever you think about the value of prospects, one of the great questions out there this year has been, why didn't Alex do something to address either the bullpen or the rotation beyond Marco Estrada? And yes, even knowing that Marcus Stroman, anticipating having Marcus Stroman as a starter, why didn't Alex do something else? And I wonder if maybe failing to execute this deal had an impact on pitching. I'm just throwing it out there, because it's, you know, when you make a deal like this in the offseason, or when you talk about a deal like this in the offseason, there's quite often dominoes to fall. I'm just throwing that out there.
It would make a lot of sense. But getting back to your point about Tulo being at a Yankees game, if you're writing Tulo a check and he's the face of the Rockies, you can say that. I'm just guessing he's all over everything with the Rockies. That would irritate you a little bit. That's not something you probably would like. I'm sure that would hurry up the process to, you know, this. I'm paying this guy a ton of money, and he obviously does not want to be here. That's,
well, I don't know if you, I don't know if you go that. It looks odd. Let's just say this. It looks odd.
Let's just say if you're going and watching another team play, hey, come on, it's. I mean, it doesn't take a very smart person to know you don't really want to be where you're at. And, you know, I think him actually moving to a team, it's going to help the lineup he's moving into. The Rogers Center, the ball flies basically like it does in Denver. Well, maybe not as much, but it's, you know, he squares it up here. It's going to leave the yard just like it did.
July 27th, by the way, 2014. July 27th, 2014, Troy Tulowitzki. It was a Sunday afternoon, so his team would have been playing. He was at a game in the Bronx. And, of course, that was Derek Jeter's last year. But, you know, Jeff talked about that rookie year, and I remember covering that World Series, and it was a horrible World Series. I mean, the Rockies were really just absolutely outmanned and outgunned by Boston. But, I mean, he was, as a rookie, he was... He was a guy who walked into the clubhouse and just absolutely owned the clubhouse. And, mm-hmm. and Jeff's right. There were some veterans in that team. There were some guys who'd been around for a while. And it was a remarkable rookie season. And he acquitted himself. I'm just looking at, and I'm trying to remember individual games, but in that postseason, and that was 2007, he ended up hitting .250, hit three RBI, didn't have any home runs, didn't have a great World Series, but he had plenty of company. He was 3-for-13, 3-for-16 in the NLCS against Arizona, and two for 12 against Philadelphia in the NLDS. But for a rookie, he had an uncommon sense of self, I guess, would be the best way to put it.
I think this is a great fit for Troy. Now, whether this is going to work out for the Blue Jays, it's yet to be seen. But for Troy, you got to figure he's going to be sort of hidden. And for a guy with this much talent and knows how the approach at the plate, that's what's impressive. He's a stand straight up guy, which is very hard to do consistently, putting balls in play, because your stride's so long, your head moves a lot, makes the ball move. It's hard to do that. That's why he's very impressive. And you know, DHing, staying on the field is going to be, you know, I tried to ask Jeff that question, and if he was manager, it is an issue. And you wonder, a guy with that much talent, why that is. I know some things are just flukes, and on occasion you get hurt. But, you know, over the past 3 years, he's missed quite a few games. That's one of the things. But you have to figure, you have him and Donaldson at third base. That's a pretty good left side, and it gives you options to get rid of a Batista or an Encarnacion, something like that, if you have to throw it in on a deal on a prospect. It's, you know, the future does – you have to admit, the future does look really bright for the Blue Jays. Now, whether it's going to work out, seven games back in the East, 3.5 back in the wild card, I think the last time I checked, it's – that's yet to be seen again. But the future, man, is – wow. Alex does have it going in the right direction. Now, mm-hmm. I'm not real sure about the Jeff Hoffman thing. I don't think 99, that young of a guy, basically it's a clean slate. You can make him into what you want to make him into. That would be a tough sell for me if I was Alex, but, you know, you have to give a little to get a lot. And
I don't want – as an organization, you can't live in fear of hanging on to all your prospects.
Yeah, you can see the way the Rockies are going. That they're saying power keeps it in the yard. Yep. Those three guys they just got have all power.
I have to mention, by the way, as well, a particularly interesting part of the history between Troy Tulowitzki and the Rockies. There was also the promotional giveaway where the Rockies gave away a Tulowitzki jersey, and they had his jersey. They had the name spelt wrong in the back. And that was kind of annoying to the franchise player to see his name spelt wrong on the back of the jersey. So that's it for Baseball Central today. Plenty of baseball talk ahead this afternoon. I'll be on Primetime Sports. Mr. Barker is hanging around. Brady and Walker is next. Greg Brady and Kevin will get you set for Alex Anthopoulos's news conference, which is scheduled to begin sometime around 1 o'clock. We will have it on Sportsnet 590 The Fan. Where are we carrying it on TV? Is it Sportsnet Ontario? It's in Sportsnet Ontario and 360 will carry the news conference as Alex Anthopoulos formally announces the acquisition of Troy Tulowitzki and LaTroy Hawkins. And my sense is the general manager's not done yet. We'll have to wait and see. Hopefully somebody, Kevin, will ask Alex Anthopoulos what it's like to trade your favorite player, because he's called Jose Reyes his favorite player in the past. For Jeff Francis, the fifth Beatle, the honorary co-host of Baseball Central, I'm Jeff Blair, saying thank you for joining Kevin Barker and myself. Alex Anthopoulos' news conference is right around the corner. Oh, yeah, I forgot. The Jays are back in the field tonight against the Philadelphia Phillies. Have a great afternoon, everybody.